Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to discuss some of the aspects related to the national budget. We did do a podcast immediately after the budget, but the Rand's weakness in the last couple of days, I think, relates to government's decision to access the Jafekra account, and it might be useful to discuss some of those dynamics. And the second is the interest and inflation outlook in the United States. There have been more recent developments that has tended to push back against a early interest rate cut, and in fact, even June might feel like it's too early for the Federal Reserve to consider cutting rates. So, two important topics, let's get into it. Last week, the Rand weakened by just over 2%, with most of that weakness occurring after the national budget was announced. And in fact, during the course of last week, the Rand was the worst performing emerging market currency. Now, it's only 1 week, but clearly, the decision by government to access the Jafekra account unsettled foreign investors, and I would argue to some extent has unsettled domestic investors. So what is it about that is concerning? It's actually not that government has made the decision to access the account. It's not that government is using $150 billion of the $500 billion in that fund to reduce government debt. What is concerning is that government hasn't stipulated what is going to change to ensure that we don't simply go back to the same level of government debt that we've had previously, and that the windfall of $150 billion is ultimately not squandered. Now, government did say that they would announce what they call fiscal anchors or some sort of guideline or restrictions on measures that would ensure that government simply doesn't get back into the same level of debt. Unfortunately, those measures haven't been announced, and it would have seemed that it's more appropriate to announce those measures at exactly the same time that you announce access to the Jafekra account. And the fact that you haven't announced it suggests that the decision was fairly rushed, and even if you do announce the fiscal anchors, the question is immediately going to be, what is the process of enforcement? How are you going to ensure that government regulates itself, that it doesn't simply increase expenditure, ramp up the level of debt, and then squander effectively the 150 windfall? It is clear that the Jafekra account is going to be accessed on an annual basis, not to the extent of 150 billion rand each year, obviously, but there will likely be some flow back to government that helps them to reduce the debt. And again, the question will be asked, is that not simply going to be factored into the national budget and being assumed as an ongoing revenue windfall, so to speak? And so I think the currency and to some extent the bond market is reflecting that back at government, asking the question around the merits of the announcement and whether or not government is serious about maintaining fiscal discipline longer term. They have, to be fair, announced a whole lot of measures around what that Jafekra balance can be used for. In other words, it can't be accessed on an ad hoc basis. It can't be used to just simply increase government expenditure. It can only be used to reduce debt. So I think there are certain restrictions around what that money can be directly used for. And as I say, it is in line with international best practice. It does feel as if South Africa is an outlier, having allowed the balance to increase to over 500 billion. Most other countries have a mechanism in place to transfer on a regular basis any sort of profits on foreign exchange reserves back to the government pretty much on an annual basis. So South Africa is somewhat of an outlier, having allowed that fund to accumulate to over 500 billion. But it's really, what are the safeguards that government is going to be putting in place to ensure that the same behavior is not repeated? And by that I mean that government is more disciplined on expenditure, spends the money more efficiently, and at the same time focuses on lifting economic growth, creating jobs, and therefore bolstering tax revenue on an annual basis. And from our perspective, there's been very little or even no announcements around that, which is ultimately the critical ingredient to ensure that government can achieve fiscal discipline longer term. It wasn't long ago that the market was factoring in an interest rate cut in the US as early as March of this year. But a couple of things have developed since then. The first is that the inflation data, if anything, has surprised on the upside and is clearly fairly sticky and not moderating down to the 2% target in line with earlier expectations. The second is that the US economy continues to grow at a fairly substantial pace. In particular, the labor market remains incredibly strong. And so the combination of those two factors has created this unease or concern that the Fed may delay interest rate cuts or even get to the point where they have to consider increasing interest rates further. It's simply because the inflation data is taking its time to move down from the 3% level to closer to the 2%. And while that doesn't sound like a significant move, the Federal Reserve clearly wants to see inflation moderate further before they build up enough confidence that the 2% target will actually be achieved and therefore they can consider cutting interest rates. And because the economy is not especially weak, they're actually not under significant pressure to cut interest rates. They can afford to hold on, wait and see, and then decide when it is appropriate. Now, in that decision to wait and see, what the Federal Reserve has to be absolutely certain about is that they are at the right level of interest rate. In other words, do they have to increase interest rates further in order to get the desired outcome? And if that is the conclusion, they'd be better off increasing interest rates quickly rather than waiting it out and then later on in the year deciding, gee, we don't have the right rate, let's increase interest rates further. And I suspect they're having that debate at the moment. And so market expectations are changing. At this stage, you would say probably on balance, the consensus is that the Fed cuts interest rates in June and then continues to cut at every single meeting. But even that, I think, has been shifted in terms of the level of conviction, and that there are an increasing number of people suggesting that interest rate cuts may actually happen much later in the year or not at all this year. And that from our perspective, certainly, it's worthwhile in the back of your mind considering that the Fed may feel that they need to increase interest rates, force the economy weaker, particularly force the labor market weaker, and thereby ensure that inflation capitulates the final 1%. That, I think, would unsettle financial markets because markets have really priced in this Goldilocks outcome where you can get a soft landing, bring inflation under control, start to cut interest rates and go into the next economic upswing. And clearly, if inflation doesn't behave and remains sticky and well above target, then the Federal Reserve would be forced ultimately to hike rates again, even if that pushes the US economy into recession. From their perspective, that would be a small price to pay to ensure that inflation is brought fully under control before they commence the next business economic upswing. So it's something just to bear in mind. I think it is in the back of many people's or analysts' minds. I don't think it has necessarily become the consensus view, but as data comes in, it is growing in likelihood rather than this neat idea that the Fed cuts interest rates by the middle of the year and that we start to see the next economic upswing materialize in the US before the end of this year. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.